Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we got no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Doesn't show no signs of stopping.
Shalom and welcome again to another episode of Repentance is the Key. I am the host, your brother Abijah, and I have a few guests on the show with me this evening. I'll start just from the top on down, not in any specific order. I have with me the brother Kadar, who's here in Atlanta with me as well. And Kadar, you have any few words you want to say to the host? I mean, not to the host, but to the people.
I have some words I want to say to the host. The host is dead wrong for that song. But all praises and status, and it's a pleasure to be here, go over a topic that we're going to cover for the next month or so.
All righty. And also, we have another dynamic brother. He actually hosts a show on Saturdays. It's called Kings and Priests, and it airs at 9 a.m. Saturday morning Eastern Standard Time. The brother Godiwin across the pond. Say a few words, brother.
And that's 2 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time here in the UK. Yeah, I mean, when you showed me that clip, like you said, it was a continuation from the show I did last week. You know, the lies people tell their children at Christmas, and this is a big one about Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus going to come down an imaginary chimney and leave gifts under an idol, which is the Christmas tree, and you really can't say anything against it. You know, this is how entrenched lies have become in this world. So you look at it, you know, brothers, it's like we're the only really soldiers for truth in Christ. And, you know, it's a big mission, and we've got a lot of work to do.
All righty. And last but not least, I have the man, the brother man from the STL, the brother Shamak in St. Louis. Shamak, go ahead and introduce yourself, brother.
Hey, I just want to say Most High in Christ bless everyone and happy to be here.
All righty. Well, let's get it on. Before I start, you know, this whole thing is, you know, it's kind of was coming off the heels of the show that Godiwin did last week on his show, Kings and Priests. But the news article, actually, the idea came from Kadar. And, you know, the news reporter basically got on the air after a segment and destroyed little children's dreams, if you will. And she was apologizing about saying that there's no Santa and all this other stuff. But, you know, here we're dealing with the scriptures. So this is my disclaimer. We're dealing with the scriptures, and we're going to speak the truth according to the word. So parents, if you can't handle the truth, which is another show that we also have that airs on, I believe, Mondays at 7 p.m. No, it's 8 p.m. I'm sorry, Eastern Standard Time. Then you don't want to hear the scriptures, because that's what we're going to deal with. So, on to the topic. If little children were up watching the 9 o'clock news on the eve of November 29th in Chicago, their little virgin ears may have heard something far worse than profanity. Veteran news anchor Robin Robinson destroyed little children's dreams by saying that Santa Claus doesn't exist and that mommy and daddy are the real gift givers. The news anchor's comments caused such an uproar among viewers that she had to do a segment the following evening to apologize for, quote-unquote, potentially destroying Christmas for children. In the midst of all the hoopla and concerns of materialism, it begs the question, what part, if any, does Jesus Christ play in the reason for the season? And has the love for Santa and political correctness displaced our Lord and Savior? That and a few other questions we're going to attempt to answer as it pertains to repentance through Jesus Christ. So I want to play the news clip, the first one, that actually, you know, caused all of the, controversy, if you will. because this is what I did is I actually split it up into a couple of parts. And this is like I want to play it in full so people can understand the context of where it all started. And I also, in these in the show's synopsis, I put the links to the websites where you can actually go and read the stories, see people's comments, and actually hear the clips in full. Okay, these clips are from Fox News Channel 9 in Chicago. And here's the first one.
Tonight's talker is about the gifts kids want for the holidays, what their parents can afford, and who, if anybody, should tell the kids the lists may not match. With a bad economy, they've been matching less and less. And the issue is now affecting how Santa Claus is being trained. We're talking about Santas at places like the local mall where kids sit on their laps and say what they want for Christmas. Some of the Santas go to an actual Santa school. The oldest and most famous Santa school is in Michigan. It's been called the Harvard of Santa Institutions. And this year, its graduates are honing skills and coping with the economic slump. The bad economy is evident in stories about kids asking Santa to get their mom or dad a job, and the story of a boy who asked for shoes that fit. Less extreme are the cases of kids who ask Santa for pricey toys while their parents are off to the side trying to mime to Santa, "No, don't promise that." The Santa we spoke with at Woodfield Mall said he hasn't seen anything so overt, but he's always concerned about unrealistic expectations. So he has a phrase that's good in any economy.
If a child asks for a particular toy, that no matter what the toy, I do not promise, you know, what they're going to get. But I do indicate that they're going to get some surprises. And kids like surprises, so that usually encourages them.
Illinois families may struggle more than many others this holiday season. The financial counseling group Credibility just put out a rating that measures the financial condition of the average family in each U.S. state. The rating for Illinois calls the average family here financially distressed and unstable. Illinois ranked 17th worst in the country. Indiana ranked even lower, the 10th worst in America for financial distress. Here's what our Facebook friends say about Santa tamping down gift expectations. Joseph writes, it's not about expectations. It should be about what you can afford. Nicole says, my kids will be getting one gift apiece because I can't keep up with everybody else, and my kids understand. And from Saul, Christmas is about family, not gifts. We talked with parents at Woodfield Mall about Santas who've tweaked their acts to lower kids' gift expectations. Here's some of what we heard.
Okay, I stopped it right there because I wanted to just kind of, you know, just break the ice with the whole story as far as what they're trying to address. And, you know, basically the whole people in economic turmoil, or in, you know, money's kind of tight right now, so we want to use Santa to help lighten that burden as far as our children's expectations. And before I toss any questions to you, brothers, I want to get the other part of what some of those parents said. Hold on 1 second.
We talked with parents at Woodfield Mall about Santas who've tweaked their acts to lower kids' gift expectations. Here's some of what we heard.
I think it's the parents' role to do that. I don't think Santa Claus needs to do anything but make the kids happy and smile.
I think that's very helpful because it does help the parents telling the kids what they're able to get and they're not getting their hopes up.
I guess it's a good thing for parents that the kids aren't expecting everything under the tree.
I'm sure some parents will appreciate the help, but some others would not really want their kids to be disappointed right after they talk to Santa, because that's probably what they come to the mall for.
Okay, so you heard it from both sides. And I'm saving the best part for last, which is when, you know, what the real topic of this show is about her comments or whatever. But brothers, does anyone of you care to weigh in on what you just heard? Kadar, I'll start with you. You know, how do we deal with children's expectations when it comes to values placed on material things? You know, about people using Santa to deflect expensive gifts, or to take the brunt of, or to take the edge off of parents' expectations of spending a whole bunch of money. How do you feel about it? In truth, what do the scriptures say about that?
I mean, there's a fundamental thing about this whole thing to me, and I'm going to read this scripture and explain what I'm saying. This scripture is Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, and it says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So the first part of it is the basic thing that I'm talking about is we don't want anyone lying unto us. So the same things that we would want, we don't do it to other people. You don't want your children lying unto you, so you don't lie to them. And the whole fundamental thing is just this simple thing that if you're dealing with your children right, then you just tell them the truth about whatever you're dealing with, because that's what you expect from them as they grow older, for them to tell you the truth. So if you can't afford something, and you know we don't even deal with this whole Christmas thing, but anything, if you can't afford something, you don't displace it on something else. You simply deal with your children with the truth, because that's the commandment. And that's what it tells us when it says, for this is the law and the prophets. That means that's what the prophets taught, and that was one of the commandments that was taught unto us. And when you read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11, it says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely. So that gets that whole thing out of, oh, well, you know, it's just this or that. No, you're not supposed to deal falsely. And it goes on to say, neither lie one to another. So the whole Santa being used as an excuse as to why they can't get gifts, or why you're not going to get this or get that, that's a lie. They're children. You're not supposed to be afraid of them. You're supposed to be able to deal with them with the truth and just talk to them honestly and according to the commandments and train them that way.
Okay. Either one of you, Godiwan or Shamak, either one of you care to weigh in on that?
I just had a comment on that, too, because, they really just digging themselves in a bigger ditch trying to say that they're going to put the expense now on Santa Claus, which that's still not going to happen. So, in the end, the child is still going to be without if you going in that direction with the story. Because as far as what they're, like you said, the brother saying, they still holding on to a lie. So they're trying to put in the economical situation saying it's going to be harder this year, so put some of it on Santa. It ain't no Santa to put it on. So that's my comment on that for now.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring in this scripture. This is Hebrews 13. And verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For you have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So this whole holiday, it teaches children to be covetous, to desire things of others, rather than them looking at the scriptures and looking at Christ and dealing with the truth. They learn a whole bunch of lies and a whole bunch of evil lessons that, you know, people teach their children. And just like the brother brought out, you know, we don't want our children to lie. So why are we teaching them lies? Because guess what? They're going to remember it. They're going to remember it. And when you try to come in the world, tell the truth, they're going to flip it right back in your lap. Back to you.
Mm. Okay. So just looking at this, I want to play the last part of the first news article, because you heard the first two parts of it, and I wish that our viewers could see the actual video, which is why the link's are in the chat room, because if you could see this journalist's face when they were going through this whole thing about, you know, Santa's setting helping to set parents set expectations and everything, she's like, this is a crocker, you know what? But let me play the clip.
And give Santa some of the burden. You know, if the kid says, Santa, I want a Maserati, let Santa be the one to say, no, you get a Yugo, and be happy about it. Happy, glad tidings, everybody.
Stop trying to convince your kids that Santa is Santa. That's my take is, forget about it. That's why they have these high expectations. They know you can't afford it. So go ask a man in a red suit. There is no Santa.
No, but a little kid will think, well, Santa will get me whatever I want.
As soon as they can talk, there's no Santa.
Hey, Ebenezer, what's
no,
with you?
No, I still do gifts, but it's not from Santa.
So your little kid,
Santa's
said,
a symbol of the generosity of the season. You go sit in his lap, we'll take a picture, but he's not coming down the chimney, he's not eating those cookies, he's not bringing you anything.
Next week you come up to the office, I'll show you Polar Express. You got to believe.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
Stop believing.
Okay, okay.
Let's get to Lou Kanellis making his sports list and checking it twice.
Robin, don't ruin it for me. I'm asking Santa for a Maserati.
Okay, good luck with that.
All righty, you heard it. But like I said, I wish you could have seen her face. Okay, she said, he ain't coming down no chimney. He ain't eating those cookies. I mean, it was just funny. And now looking at it, you know, you look at all of the comments and the uproar, it was like, you know, there were comments that were posted to the news channel's website about how she should be fired. That was so unprofessional. And I got those clips as well going into the apology. But before we go into that, do any of you brothers have a comment on what you just heard?
I got a comment. She was probably listening to our shows and got mad. She was probably listening to what? Listen to the show, bringing out the documentary, the Jeremiah films about the, you know, the hearth gods and how that's all about demonic spirits. And you really, this whole season, teaching your children about demonology. And it shouldn't make you mad when you find out the truth that all the time, all these years, you've been teaching your children lies. And people, there's a bad economy. And people are breaking their butts and working their fingers to the bone. And you're going to have to give all the glory to another man, and they're going to praise and reverence this man and just look at you like, yeah, you ain't nothing. Santa bought these gifts. you see what I'm saying? And then that takes the honor away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because they will teach your children about mystical, magical creatures. And a man in a red and white, so a white man in a red and white suit, like he's some kind of savior, he's some kind of Jesus. But you can't tell him, you can't tell nobody about the Lord and Christ. They'll believe in Christ, believe in the truth. They'll look at you like you crazy. No, Santa is the truth and Christ isn't.
Right.
That's what he said. So her response was correct. The only thing is that it wasn't tempered with the scriptures. That's why she got destroyed.
It's also them trying to keep that myth alive as well, because I got a couple of scriptures. The first one I want to go to is in Exodus, the 20th chapter, because she's like, when she put it out there as far as like there is no sense, and we all know and understand that there's not, but they're trying to keep that spirit or whatever is, well, what the scripture calls is idol. And it's also considered another god, because when you go to Exodus 20, the scripture 20 and 3, it says, thou shalt have no other god before me. So when you look at Santa and the things that are attached to Santa, especially with some of the songs, he knows when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or good. So them things sound like he has some type of power. So you're going to tell me that he knows about every little kid on the face of this earth, whether they've been bad or good, and what they're doing in their lives? That sounds like God-like power. So they're actually teaching and trying to uphold this God. But the scripture says, thou shalt have no other God before me. And I'm going to jump to Psalms 96 real fast.
Shamar, you know what?
Go ahead.
That's boring. That's boring. That's not fun. You teach your child about boring.
Yeah, exactly. I know it's boring to them. But that's why I'm trying to say. They're trying to keep that alive. Because to really teach and structure your child into what's right and wrong is going to, for one, when you serve the Lord, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb to the world.
Right.
And a lot of people ain't ready to be like that. They want to just go along with the flow. And going along with the flow going to end up worse in destruction. So that's why it takes people to really understand that you got to learn the truth and learn to get out of the flow and get into the flow with the Heavenly Father in Christ. Because other than that, you're going to be led to destruction.
Right.
So Psalms 96 and verse 4. And I'm going to go back to Exodus and finish up in there. But it says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. So we're supposed to fear and reverence the Heavenly Father in Christ, and we're supposed to praise Him. So now this is, like I say, the reason for the season. Christ is never looked upon as the reason for the season. It's Santa Claus. And then I kind of think things like this kind of funny, but it's true. Like, if this was truly Christ's birthday, I thought when it's your birthday, you were the one to receive gifts. So why is everybody in the world receiving gifts on another person's birthday? So I look at things like that. You just got to look at things like that. So, but it just lets you know where the world's moving. So it's in verse 5. It says, "For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens and the earth." That's why the scripture I just came from. In Exodus, it tells you, "Have no other gods before me," because all these other gods that the nations are bringing forth, they're idols. They're worthless. They're nothing. They're imaginations. They're created by man, and we're supposed to fear the Heavenly Father in Christ. So I'm going to go back and finish in Exodus 20. It says, Thou shalt have no other god before me. It says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities upon the fathers and upon the children to the third and fourth generation." So when the nations create these gods and we go after them, that's something that the Heavenly Father in Christ does not like. Because now you're starting to put your trust into something that cannot bring forth nothing to you. Like the scripture said, we're supposed to put our trust in the Heavenly Father in Christ. And we're not supposed to bow down to any of these gods. We're not supposed to follow their programs. We're not supposed to do any of that. We're supposed to serve the Heavenly Father in Christ, in spirit and in truth, find out what He requires of us to do, and follow that. You know, I'm dealing with that, bro.
Yeah, Yeah, I wanted to add in a point. Shemont made a point, and I want to add a little bit to that because he really made me start thinking of something. When they're teaching this whole Santa Claus thing, where you have the Santa Claus, like he was saying, and knows whether you've been good or whether you've been bad, it's very intentional what they're doing, because 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells you, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." So according to the teachings of Christ, in the end, we know that we're going to be rewarded according to what we've done in our life. If we've done according to the commandments, walked according to the law, kept the scriptures, then what happens? You receive the blessings. If you've done evil, if you've done things contrary to the Bible, if you live according to the works of the flesh, then your reward is the judgment that the Most High has set before you. But what do they do with this whole Santa Claus? They bring out this whole doctrine. Say, you know, he knows when you've been good, you know when you've been bad. But which kid of a family that's celebrating that stuff doesn't get something on that day regardless of how they've been behaving? They're always filled with gifts. So that's that whole doctrine, once again, that satanic doctrine of live however you want to live, do whatever you want to do, and you're still going to be rewarded. That's why when you jump to 2 Corinthians 11:4, it talks about, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him," because there's going to be a judgment for those that are following those strange doctrines. For those that are following these things that are contrary to the scriptures, there's a judgment coming. But the world is not teaching that. The world is teaching that Santa Claus is coming and he's so good. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's coming to the chimney to bring gifts and all these things when he's a demon. And what do the scriptures say about that? In that same chapter, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, or verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So here you have this satanic being, Santa Claus, a demon, a demonic thing they talk about, and Godwin is more expert in this. He could tell you all the demons that he comes from. One is the idol Odin. That's who another incarnation of Santa Claus is. But you have all those things, and you have all these different idols in Santa Claus, and then you turn around and people are what? Saying how he's such a good thing, how it's marvelous, how it's beautiful, and Santa Claus brings light to the world. No, he doesn't. It's another way that Satan is coming out into the world, destroying the minds of people and starting very early with the kids so they'll be corrupted from their youth. That's it, Oscar.
Right. Right. It's because at all times what they're trying to do, they're trying to initiate children into Satanism. That's what they're trying to do. So every year, what are they going to teach? They're going to teach about Santa Claus. They're going to have it do the Christmas pray, Christmas play. They ain't going to pray. They're going to have you do the Christmas play. They're going to have children go to Santa Claus. And all these things are sanctioned, and they're part of the curriculum. They're part of the education. Me and my wife, many days when they be having their Christmas plays and their Christmas dinner, and they're going to have the Christmas ham and all this, the Christmas goose, which is all different sacrifices that they sacrifice to their gods in paganism, which is just a nice up word for Satanism. You know, we pull our children out of school. Like, you're not going to take part of that. And a lot of people, a lot of the teachers have problems, you know, and even yell at our children, oh, go over there, go in. You ain't getting with the Christmas play. But I want to read this scripture because she said something about, oh, Santa Claus is just, you know, a generosity of the season. You know, it's the spirit of the season. You know, a lot of people say it's you know, it's the spirit of the season. What spirit is it? This is John 14:7. It says, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So this is why we have a problem. Yeah, we're telling the truth that's in Christ. There's no Santa Claus. And you know what, brothers? Me and the brother Osh, we actually went to jail. It was like 1999. We was in Brixton on the street teaching on a Saturday, teaching, bringing out the scriptures. Look, there's no Santa Claus. You know, bringing out Jeremiah 10 about the Christmas tree, how it's idolatry. And you know what happened? They put us in jail. He was in jail for 12 hours.
There's no Santa.
But the thing now, is, they had to let us go.
Now, you brought up the point. I want to come back to that.
This is how crazy people are about Christmas. You know, even the spirit of truth is Christ. How wonderful it is that Christ, here a man that walked the earth, that walked perfectly without no sin, who left us a perfect example for us to love one another, for us not to be murderers, not to be thieves, to be upright. That's the man that's supposed to be exalted, not Santa Claus. But year after year, Santa Claus is exalted above Jesus Christ, and they say it's Jesus Christ's birthday. And I love the point that the brother brought out. If it's Christ's birthday, we're supposed to bring gifts to him. Not we get gifts. You know, it says, because it seeth him not, I'll read it from the top. It says, John 14:7, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. And you know, the scriptures tell us what? If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So we're not supposed to be part of this world or part of their different traditions or sanctions wherever we are. Because I was at work, and the person was asking me, it's like, you know, it's all the friends and board. We're like, what are you? You're going to be ready for Christmas? Right? No, I don't celebrate Christmas. It's like, what are you? You know, and then she went into, you know, and when you're in different places, then you have to keep the custom of the different places that you're in. So I told her, I said, that's why, you know, the people of the Bible, the Israelites, were always hated as some malicious people because we never followed the customs of the people, the ones that were righteous, you know, never followed the custom. That's why people hated us. And that's the way people feel, because the spirit of truth, they can't receive it. It says, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So back to you, bro.
Yeah, and that was part of the reason why Daniel was persecuted, and thrown in the lion's den, because some of them, the ones that were righteous, they had to put that in there. You know, we never
wanted to follow the customs of the other nations. We wanted to keep the commandments of the Heavenly Father. And before we go to break, I want to play some of the clips from her apology, okay? And I'll see if I go to the break first before I get y'all to comment on this. But this is basically throughout the it's like a 4-minute clip. And I pulled out, she like apologized like maybe almost three or four times throughout the whole thing about saying there's no Santa Claus. But y'all check this out.
Tonight's talker is about me talking too much without thinking about who else might be in the room with the adults watching the news. And since I try not to make the same mistake twice, warning, we are about to talk about Santa Claus again. You might want your children to leave the room, which is what we should have said last night. It was careless and callous to say what I said in what could have been mixed company. So many kids don't get to be children that for those who do get to live the wonder and magic of Christmas, I would never spoil it intentionally. So I sincerely apologize.
That's number one. Hold on.
So for any damage I did, the little ones who were in the room last night, I cannot, wish I could, unring the bell.
Number three.
Again, I can't unring the bell. I'm always so careful, you know, if we have a bad word or a gory scene, you know, to make sure, you know, kids could be watching. It just didn't occur to me to have that kind of care with that subject.
Okay, first, make no mistake about it. There is a Santa Claus. Secondly, you are forgiven, but you need to do this. There are three things I want you to watch this season.
Okay. So before we go to break, I just wanted y'all to kind of weigh in on some of those things that you heard. Kadar, what did you get from that? Exactly.
Okay.
Where do you start?
I think you should just go to break. But I give you one part. This is Proverbs 9:8. And we know that this isn't talking about her all the way because she's dealing with a lot of foolishness within that. But this is what happened. Proverbs 9, verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So the reason why she's even on the air having to apologize is there was a huge backlash for what she said. What she said was the truth. There is no Santa Claus. Well, why was there a huge backlash against her? Because the majority of this world are scorners against the Bible. They hate the Bible, they hate God, and they hate Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. So when anyone comes out saying any semblance of truth that's in the Bible, they're going to scorn, hate, and despise it.
Wow. Now that's something else. Shamak, you want to say anything?
Yeah. I can bring up, because like what she says, what should have been said the night and the night after, because it's the truth. But like the brother just said, when the truth come out, a lot of people scorning. She was put in a position to where, you know, her job probably was on the line, but that's another whole story. But I just want to go to 1 Corinthians 6:9 and bring that out real fast. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusing themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkenness, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So, when you look at this scripture, that is Christmas in a nutshell, because everything in her, if you look at the origins of Christmas, Christmas got a part in every single one of these words I just read. Fornication, idolatry, we know that's the biggest one, idolatry, adultery, when you deal with all of them, it's all in there. So we got to understand and know that following the Heavenly Father in Christ, we got to come from under the ban of the world. Because you're truly not going to enter into the kingdom, because it can sound like, all right, but that's your own understanding, or that's what you believe. But like I read earlier, the scripture, the Lord tells us not to have no other God before. And when you look at the nations and what they did when it came to this idolatrous custom, there was definitely fornication. There was idolatry from top. Adultery goes into when, you know, the mistletoe, say for instance somebody's married, you under mistletoe now, you get the permission to kiss this man's wife. That's an adulterous situation. It says no effeminate. You had times where when you look at the history of Christmas, that men slept with men. So it says no abusing himself with mankind, same thing. It says nor thieves, nor covetous. So when it deals with thieves, you can start dealing with the merchants of this world because they're definitely robbing the people when it comes time to this time of the season. And covetousness. Every little kid on this earth is coveting after something when it comes to this time of season. They see it on TV. They look and see, oh, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. It all covers this. It says, nor revilers, nor extortioners, once again, they extorting the people, shall inherit the kingdom of God. So if you play it along and a part of this custom and this ideology, you need to get from up under it and understand what the scripture says. And that's it on that, bro.
And Godwin, I know you got something in the barrel, but I just wanted to go into a little point that the brother had mentioned. Because even that whole thing with the mistletoe, you know, the origin of that goes into the whole thing about people just freely having sex with each other, okay, and going into like a lot of fornication and in some cases adultery, because this was one of the opportunities that, you know, people would take to just, you know, have a license to sin, if you will, or just have sex with any and everyone that they please. So, Godwin, go ahead and we'll get ready to go to the break here in a second.
Yeah, and just on that point before I bring out the scripture that I had, it very much is in this time of season where people are going to be looking to have, you know, have those sexual experiences where people are going to be more open, people are going to be, you know, drinking, so they're going to be more wanton and more loose during this time period. So it is a period that people look forward to. But if you're dealing with the Bible, then that's not going to get you laid. People are not interested in that. You know,
yeah, because it's like even with that, you know, even with that mistletoe, it's like this. If we're not talking about somebody kissing a woman on the cheek, like as a greeting or something like that, where there's nothing behind it or ulterior motives, this is straight up, hey, I'm gonna get me some.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Doc. I want
to go back to, you know, the point where these things are initiation for children into a lot of satanic practices from demonology, because that whole Santa Claus thing is teaching children, is really initiating them into demonology and Satanism, because you speak about magic, you know, the wonder of the magical, you know, season. What the Most High tells us about magic, you know, we're not supposed to seek to those that peep and mutter, and the people seek to their God, to the law, and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. But I'm going to read this scripture. This is Jeremiah, the 9th chapter and the 3rd verse. And it says, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. So this is what happened. You know, people, they bend their tongue for lies, so easy to pull it back. And they shoot out these lies. But when it comes to stand for the truth, no one is valiant for the truth. There's no one that's bold or courageous. You see, the woman, she told the truth. She said what was true. It's true. There's no Santa Claus. It's true. Your parents get those gifts. They work all year and they get those gifts. It's true. But was she valiant for the truth? No. She turned right around. So what? People are more valiant for the lies than they are for the truth. It shows you the state of the world. You know, every year the president comes out and he has a state of the union. Well, we have a state of the world, and Christ said it best. Because iniquity has abound, the love of many have waxed cold. And that first love that we're supposed to have is for the Most High and Christ. So people don't have that. They could care less about the truth. They could care less. I'm going to finish up on this scripture. So
right,
they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. So people don't know the Lord. They don't know Christ. Neither are they looking for him. Neither are your children looking for him. On Christmas Eve, who are they looking for? They're looking for Santa Claus that's going to come and bring them gifts because a gift destroys the heart. So they're not looking for the truth. They're not concerned with the truth. And they're going to grow up and they're going to teach these, and then they're going to initiate their children into these paganistic, which is satanic practices. Verse 4, it says, take you heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. Because we're supposed to put our trust in the word of the Lord, which is right. And it says, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. So this is what they do. They've taught themselves to speak lies. See, the man came and said, yep, Santa Claus is true, knowing good and well that Santa Claus does not exist at all. But, see, she wasn't supposed to say that. Because that's breaking the code. She wasn't supposed to say that. See, she had to come back like, look, put it straight. They couldn't just leave that out there like that. See, that's why you won't see us on you won't see us on a CNN or NBC or Fox, because we're gonna light it up and it's gonna, we ain't coming back with no apology.
Hey, you know, Godon, when you were finished.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Because the one point I want to make with everything you said, and especially with what you just said about CNN, is to get our people to understand one thing. CNN, Fox, BET, MTV, the radio, the newspapers, the magazines, all of them are against us. They are our enemy. Proverbs 27:5 tells you, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So here it is. She came and told the truth for a second, but she had to swallow that right back up. Because who is she working for in that media broadcast system? For the enemy. Mm-hmm. And what is their message? What are they supposed to be doing? Pushing out lies. So that's what the media is always going to do. Push out the lies, push out whatever it is that keeps the people entrapped, enslaved, and serving Satan rather than serving the Lord Jesus Christ as he's written of in the scriptures.
Wow. So, we're going to take a quick break. That's right. Y'all hearing a yin yang jingle bell.
Or proof.
These are some of the, I mean. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to get this one in. So, y'all hold tight. And we get ready to go to a break. And we should be back shortly. And, brothers, I'm going to have to extend this show to 2 hours because we still got a lot of ground to cover. All right. Y'all hold tight. We'll be right back.
The Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works that come through the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now. Please dial 646-716-7749.
In today's world, people have been deceived and their minds have been polluted by the doctrine of devils and many tools of Satan. When people are confronted with the true word of God, it is very difficult for them to handle. John 8:32 reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Come and join the Body of Christ Church every Monday at 8 p.m. as the true word of God is rightly divided for the edification of the church. And ask yourself this question: can you handle the truth?
Just be joining us. This is Repentance is the Key, and the topic that we're dealing with is a quote-unquote Christmas apology for Santa Claus. And this is actually coming off of, you know, in reference to an incident that happened on Chicago News 9, Fox Channel, the news channel, where a reporter basically, or a journalist rather, basically told kids that there is no Santa, there's no man coming down the chimney, eating the cookies and drinking the milk. And yes, mommy and daddy got you those presents. And the following night, she was made to apologize on that same channel. And we played some of those clips going, you know, before we went to the break. And we're just dealing with these things, of course, you know, how it pertains, as it pertains to the scriptures. And one of the questions I wanted to deal with, but kind of getting to really the meat of this whole thing, you know, is, you know, the relevance of Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm not expecting, you know, to hear anything about Christ, so-called, on this news channel when it comes to this whole thing about Christmas. You know, it kind of becomes a little cliche thing. You know, you have the nativity scene. You got the three wise men. But, of course, when you read the scriptures, you don't see any three wise men in there. You know, just all of the different customs and traditions that have come to, you know, to be associated with Christmas. But when you look in the scriptures, it's not there. And if anything, there's evidence that tells us, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that has nothing to do with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that, as was brought out earlier in the show, it goes into idolatry. So I want to deal with, here we go. I want to deal with some more of the excerpts from the apology segment, okay, and this was going into the whole thing of what one of her coworkers told her when she found out that there was no Christmas.
But we also got some advice from a colleague in the newsroom who says the Santa secret was spoiled for her in second grade, and she says she went to her dad crying about it. He pulled out an old newspaper clipping, and it made her happy again. The piece is titled, "Yes, Virginia, There is a Santa Claus." Part of it reads, "He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy."
So the thing is, and brothers, I'm going to have y'all weigh in on this stuff in a second, because I got two more clips that I want to play just really to drive the point home, is that we're seeing proof and evidence that even if Christ was the reason for the season, that he's been displaced. I got a couple of more clips I want to play. One is going into, this is an excerpt from The Unwrapping of Christmas by Jeremiah Films, and I think I actually put the link to the website where you can actually go and purchase that in the show synopsis there. But this is just an excerpt from that dealing with the quote-unquote displacement of Christ by Santa Claus.
To me, the most obscene thing about Christmas celebrations and customs as we know them is that as a result of these things, Jesus is displaced in the hearts of children by Santa Claus. The love, affection, appreciation, trust, the desire to emulate these things that they should have in their hearts and minds as growing children for Jesus himself, to whom they owe everything. Instead, this has been stolen. This has been raped out of their hearts, in a sense, and displaced by the myth of Santa Claus.
He takes the place of God or of Jesus Christ in the special world that is Christmas. He has supernatural knowledge of your history. He has supernatural knowledge of your present, of your attitudes. He's keeping a list. He knows who's naughty and nice. Your parents don't even know that. He's obviously got some conduit to knowledge that is beyond the human. And he flies through the air, capable of visiting every place on the globe in the course of a single night. In many, many ways, Santa exhibits supernatural qualities that provide a kind of a surrogate deity or a substitute for God or for Christ.
All right, now I got one more clip that I want to play before I get you brothers to weigh in on some of these things. This is basically an excerpt from the I call it the apology clip. This was the follow up to that initial news story, that segment that they did where she said that there was no Santa. And this was actually from when the, I call it the apology segment here.
But we also got some advice from a colleague in the newsroom who says the same.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I already played that one. So, as a matter of fact, no, let me play this again, because there was something very important that was said toward the end of this clip.
But we also got some advice from a colleague in the newsroom who says the Santa secret was spoiled for her in second grade, and she says she went to her dad crying about it. He pulled out an old newspaper clipping, and it made her happy again. The piece is titled, Yes, Virginia, There is a Santa Claus. Part of it reads, he exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy.
So he exists as love, and I can't even remember what I always said. But basically, all of those elements we see in the scriptures. Brothers, please weigh in on this, because I know there was a lot of meat on this bone here. So who wants to take the first bite?
Yeah, let me get a piece of it.
I want
to go back to the initiation. Because I just want to read the definition. It says initiate. It says to introduce into the knowledge of some art or subject, to admit or accept with formal rights into an organization or group, secret knowledge, adult society. So, you know, maybe I'll be jumping ahead a little bit, but when do people, you know, tell their children about these things? From when they're flipping born, they're bringing their child, you know, as soon as they're born, they're like, oh, my child is going to be my baby's first Christmas. And then they're bringing the baby to sit on Santa Claus. So that's burned into their head. I mean, even some people that call themselves religious or Christians, they may have their child baptized in water. And that's a whole other topic that we deal with. You can go and look in the archives. But that will happen one time. Every year, they're going to get this knowledge reinforced in their mind year over year over year over year over year. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus. They're bombarded with it. Just like the scripture says, how sin so easily beset us and attack us every year after year after year after year. But the scriptures tell us in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he shall not depart from it when he is old. So training is something that is repetition, is it not?
Yes, it is.
It's something that's repetitious. So one of the things that we're supposed to be training our children is what? The commandments of the Lord. Because John 14:6 said that what? Christ said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And then he said, suffer not the little children to come unto him. So people, they're not allowing their children to come to Christ, but they allow them to come to this mystical being, this false god called Santa Claus. And they have no problem with it. They have no problem teaching their children lies. And that's why children grow up and they be rebellious and they burn cities down. Just like you had here over in London, and people wonder why. Because you're initiating them into a satanic doctrine. You open the doors to Satan to them. And the brother read the scripture, it doesn't look like there's anything wrong with it. Doesn't look like there's anything wrong to tell them about Santa Claus. Oh, you're going to spoil it for the kids. You spoil it for the kids. You spoil it for the babies. No, you're not spoiling it for them. You're setting them against the secret darkness that's in this world that people cannot see because they are spiritually blinded. But for us to make that statement or even for us to do a show like this is frowned upon. So I give it back to you.
All right. And you brothers want to take some of that? All right. So,
I didn't know the brother had any
questions. Oh, there you go.
But, yeah, because I wanted to make a comment on, like, what the lady and the guy said, because pretty much what the guy said was going into some of the things that was brought out earlier about Santa Claus being the mythical creature and all that stuff. But I got a little story about that, too, as well, as far as, like, what the lady said about when it was spoiled for her. Because I remember when I was a child, and I was taught about Santa Claus, this and the other, that he come down the chimney, all that stuff. So me being a child inquiring, wanted to find out what's going on, I'm outside of my house looking for a chimney. So I finally find a chimney, and I look at it, I'm like, it's just a little tube. Like, I'm like, man, Santa Claus can't fit down there. He's too big for that. So I run back in the house, ask my grandmother, and tell her what I had seen. The thing that she told me is, well, for houses like that, Santa Claus got a magical key that he can get in through the front door. Once again, keeping the spirit alive, which a lot of our parents do instead of telling us the truth. So it just goes to say, because, like, the man was telling us that Santa Claus is a god, but I'm going to go to Joshua, the 24th chapter, and bring out this scripture, and then you can take it back. So Joshua 24 and verse 14, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, to let you know that these customs and traditions of men come from way back in those times, way back into ancient Egypt times. That's where it comes from. So we're supposed to put those things away once we learn the truth and the knowledge of the scriptures. It says, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, people don't understand when you're not putting away these different idols, it is evil unto you to serve the Lord because it's getting in the way of your program and the things that you're used to doing. Because to serve the Lord, it's going to be changed. So now, once you start finding out about the truth of the Lord, it's going to interfere into your life. So now, like I said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which is your father served that was on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that should be the answer for everyone that's listening, that we're going to truly serve the Heavenly Father in Christ and put away all those idol gods that was brought from the other side of the flood and is carrying on in this day and this time.
And then I'm going to jump right in on that. And this is 2 John chapter 5, verse 3. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Because what the person lied, when he turned around and lied to the daughter and pulled that article out and said, "Just as love abounds," well, the love that's supposed to be abounding in this world is the keeping of the commandments. And that's not happening. That's not happening. The more you hear of Santa Claus and Christmas and this whole false ideology, is the more that you know the commandments are not abounding. And as Godwin brought out earlier, I believe, iniquity is abounding on the other hand. More and more wickedness is increasing on the earth. We mentioned Jeremiah 10:3, which tells us to learn not the ways of the heathen. And it goes into the Christmas and all that with the tree, because it tells you the custom of the heathen are vain. But I want to read something to you, and this is going to go a little bit long. I'm going to try to get through it quickly. This is 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 13 through 17, and it really summarizes a lot of what we were talking about. This is 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. So he's telling us to love him, basically, because the love of God is the keeping of his commandments. And he said that's what he sent all his prophets out there to teach, was to keep the commandments, to follow what the Lord says, to do his laws. Not like you got a lot of these so-called prophets setting up churches and having Christmas festivals and all that right in the church. That is against God. That is not the love of God. That is not the keeping of the commandments. That is the hatred of God and the love of Satan. Go ahead. So we're going to go down. I'm going to go down now to verse 14. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the necks of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. So it's the same thing. Just like our forefathers hated the Most High and didn't listen, that's what's going on now. A lot of these people hate the Most High. They're hardening their necks. They don't want to hear the scriptures. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So what happened? We started following, our people started following the nations that the Lord told us don't follow their customs because they are unprofitable and vain. We started following those vain customs like Christmas, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, and all the other lies and madness that they teach. And it made us vain, meaning we became worthless because our value and our beauty in the sight of the Most High was when we kept the commandments. But when we started acting just like the other nations, there was no separation between us and the other nations. We became like them, vain. And it says, verse 16, and they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, idols, just like the Christmas tree is an idol, just like the bunny rabbit is an idol, just like the Easter eggs are idols. And made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. When it says serve Baal, let's get right to the point. Our people left from following the commandments and served Satan. And that's what's going on to this very day with all these holidays, all these festivals that our people are keeping. Verse 17, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divinations and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So what's happening with this Christmas thing? Brothers have been bringing it out all through the show. They sold their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. Who were they passing through the fire to? Molech. What's another word for Molech? The horned god. What's another word for that horned god? Satan. They were allowing their children, sacrificing their children to Satan, and that's what they're doing by teaching them this Christmas and having them in those religions and having them follow all these false things. And then what else they do? What else do? They use divinations and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord. So the point Godwin keeps bringing out about it's mystical and it's magical and all these different things, it's not by coincidence. They're selling their children into this mystical, magical, witchcraft, demonic world, and that's what you're getting from Christmas. So when you talk about a Santa Claus, it's so much more than just a Santa Claus. It's that introduction, initiation into satanic practices and satanic doctrines that they're training their children up to follow for the rest of their lives. And when we, ignorantly or not, follow the nations, we're training our children to do the same thing. Back to you, Rob.
Hey, you know what? Because I got a few clips I want to play dealing with some of the comments of the people regarding the situation as well. Because the truth be told, and I think I can safely speak for all of us, at one point in time, we were all doing the same things as far as, you know, celebrating Christmas and things like that. But there came a time when we had to recognize the truth and to leave off from those things. That's what repentance is. That's what repentance is. You have to, when you admit that what you were doing was against the commandment, not confessing to a man, okay, you're not sitting in the booth talking about, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Basically, we have to admit that, okay, you know what, these things were wrong and not according to the scriptures. Stop doing those things and learn to do what's right. Because that's what repentance is. But I want to play some of these comments of some of the people's reactions to this incident.
We have certainly heard how you feel about my mistake. And since the talker is about opinions, here we go from our Facebook page. And one last warning, you might not want young kids to hear this. Annette writes, my jaw dropped when I heard her say that there was no Santa. David says, I find it appalling. My son was watching, as we do almost every night. From Laura, Robin, it is not your right to tell everyone's kids this. Carol says, for somebody who has been on a major news channel for so long, she should know what to say and what not to say. Not all kids are asleep by nine.
Round two.
Rebecca writes, if I would have known she was going to say something so unprofessional, believe me, I would have turned it off. And Pam says, stop taking the joy out of Christmas for our children and let them believe.
Stop taking the joy out of Christmas and let them believe.
Hey,
okay. What's that?
I got something for you. This is what's everything that they just said. And this is another thing that they tell churches. I want everyone to listen to this. Hold on.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Oh.
You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch.
I think you get the point. And this is the anti-propaganda that they play, along with the Christmas carol, that if you're against Christmas, that you're a bad person. So basically, that's what they reinforce that. They reinforce that. You're coming up against Christmas, you're coming up against Santa Claus, then you're an evil, wicked person. And what they're really saying, if you tell the truth, you're an evil, wicked person. That's what a scripture says, you know, they shall call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. So what's the sweet? The scripture says, what's sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb? It's the word of the Most High. So this is what they're against. They want the word of the Most High to be bitter to people. You keep the commandments, you tell them the truth. That ain't no fun. That's no fun. You tell them, you teach your children, you know, it's just a little white lie.
You know
then
what?
When you go to court, they tell you to tell the truth.
I got round number three for that good guy one. Hold on 1 second. Let me play round three.
What are you going to do to that's just wrong.
Oh, no. That, I can't imagine. Well, I mean, it's not like, I mean, it is really bad.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. Probably going to break their hearts if they find out.
I think definitely it's important that children believe in Santa Claus. I think that Santa Claus is an important part of preserving children's innocence.
Well, 9 o'clock. It was about 9:45 when I said it.
You could be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in trouble.
You're in trouble, yes. Well, people have to tell their children that you lied to them.
The kids will believe in me and what I tell them.
If there's enough people coercing them to, like, believe in Santa Claus, then, oh, she's crazy. You know, no one believes her anyway.
Hold up. Did you catch what that woman said? She says, I believe that Santa Claus is an important part of children's innocence. And these other people came on there talking about, oh, no, she's crazy. Oh, she lied to you.
Wow. You know what they were really calling her. This black woman, you know what they're calling this. So this in telling my children there's no Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we went to jail. There was some guy listening, like, oh, you ruined it for kids. Same thing. We out there teaching the Bible, you know. You ruin it for kids.
Well, he called the police and said we had a knife, we had some kind of weapons. So the police came, so we had no knives or weapons, they took us to jail anyway.
Y'all gonna stop talking about this Santa Claus. You might actually believe in Jesus Christ. Get you off.
Don't want to die one.
What's up, bro?
Galatians 4:16. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. The answer in this world is yes. Yeah. When you tell people the truth, you become their enemies. So let me share a story with you. I went to see an old high school friend in Alabama, and we met up at a restaurant. And she had two young daughters, and I had my two daughters with me, three daughters actually. And the two younger daughters at that time, they were 6 and 7 probably, were sitting down talking with her, and they started talking about Christmas. And you know the question always comes up, what about the kids? What about the kids? They're going to feel lonely. They're going to feel this and that. When you teach your children the truth, Proverbs 22:6, train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they shall not depart from it. There is no effect for the kids. That what about the kids is an excuse. What they really should be saying is, what about the adults? We love lying to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was they sitting at the table, those two with the other two girls, and the subject of Christmas, and Santa Claus comes up. So I'm listening now. My daughters are like, well, we don't celebrate Christmas. No. So Santa Claus doesn't come and bring you gifts? And they were like, there is no Santa Claus. And they were like, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Well, who's bringing the gifts to your house? Your parents are. So they might have been like, your parents are. So the girls were like, Mom, she's over here saying there's no Christmas. And so I just looked at my friend. I said, hey, I told you when I deal with my daughters, I deal with the truth. She was like, oh, it's all right. Let them do what they're doing. And the next thing I heard my daughter tell her was like, don't worry, when you grow up, you're going to find out the truth. So that's what happens when you deal with the truth. They're not worried about this. The scriptures tell you, and I just want to read this real quickly, and it's for the adults and for the children. We always have to keep this in mind. And this is just real quick. Exodus 23:1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment. So the whole point was in the second verse, which is thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. When you teach your children right according to the scriptures, they're not going to follow after evil. They're going to know right from wrong, and they're going to deal with people in that same manner. Just like we would always want people to deal with us with the truth, when you teach children right, they're going to grow up and deal with people in the truth.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, people, they approach. I remember I'll tell you a story. My wife was in the supermarket, and some woman approached my son. He was like about 3. And he's like, oh, you getting ready for Christmas. They called Santa Claus Father Christmas. Oh, Father Christmas is going to bring you gifts. And he said, I don't celebrate that. And the woman was like, she was like shocked, like someone stunned her. And my wife said she ran away. Because they're not expecting children to deal with the truth. They're expecting them to be initiated into these lies from when they're very, 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 very young. And, you know, it's refreshing to hear those things, you know, to hear our children that deal with the truth, because they're going to grow up. And, you know, they want children to be moral. They want children to have integrity. Well, how can you have that when you're dealing with confusion? And we know the scripture says where there's confusion, there's every evil work that Satan is in the midst. So go ahead, bro.
No, I think, Shamak, you know, I heard you trying to get a little something in there.
No, I wasn't saying that. I was just agreeing.
Now, I want to play a clip that I played earlier, because y'all had just answered some of the questions that I was actually going to present with regards to what age should you deal with your children when it comes to quote-unquote real life and how we're supposed to teach our children to deal with those that believe in Christmas. You know, it's like, well, how do you? You just tell them the truth. Okay? But I want to play this clip that I played earlier in the beginning.
give Santa some of the burden. You know, if the kid says, Santa, I want a Maserati, let Santa be the one to say, no, you get a Yugo, and be happy about it. Glad tidings, everybody.
Stop trying to convince your kids that Santa is Santa. That's my take is, forget about it. That's why they have these high expectations. They know you can't afford it. So go take ask some man in a red suit. There is no Santa.
No, but if a little kid will think, well, Santa will get me whatever I want.
As soon as they can talk, there is no Santa.
Right.
That's what I wanted to hear. She said, as soon as they can talk, there is no Santa.
No. Before they can talk, because people initiate their children with this Santa, with this Santa lies, really not Santa, Satan, okay, just mixed around and jumbled, because he's not no saint. It's not about a saint of Mary or, you know, the bishop. It's not about that. So from when children are babies, they go, oh, we're going to take them to Santa, put them on Santa's lap. It's going to be your first Christmas. No. As soon as they're born, you should be reading the scriptures and telling them about the Most High. They should be seeing you in that environment because they're watching you. You see your children when they're babies, they're watching you. Especially when they want that milk, they're like, yo, where's the mother at? They're watching you, everything that you do. That's why the Most High, Christ told us to let our light shine, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And that includes our children. The children are supposed to see us telling the truth. Our children are supposed to see us that we have the fruits of the Spirit, that we have that patience, that we have that joy, that we have that love. People think that Christmas time is the only time that you're supposed to be good. You're supposed to be good all year round, like Christ. That's really the Christ that we're following. Christ walked his whole life in righteousness and truth.
Right. I got one last clip I want to play before we wrap things up. And this is some of the responses from the so-called Grinches.
Now, a few people do have differing opinions, a very few. Christopher McMahon.
I had to stop it. Y'all heard her? She said, now, a few people had differing opinions, and she stuck that little stab in there talking about very few. Let's play this again.
Now, a few people do have differing opinions, a very few. Christopher McMullen says children should know from day one that Santa is not real and that their parents worked very hard to get them these gifts. Jennifer says if your kids are mature enough to watch the nightly news with reports of killings, molestations, investigations, corruption, etc., then they are mature enough to know that guy in the big red suit is fictitious. And Barbara says, I told my fifth graders inadvertently that there was no Santa. There was a big fuss about it, but it soon died down and everyone survived.
One of those viewers brought out an interesting point. She said that if your children are mature enough to watch a news report with murders, stabbings, killings, and all kind of other heinous acts, then they're mature enough to understand and know that there is no Santa. But the scriptures have already come out as far as dealing with our children in truth and how we deal with them in truth from day one. And that when we deal with them in truth, then they're not going to be disadvantaged. They're not going to miss out on anything because they already understand that the things that they were supposed to, according to the world standards, be brought up in are vain and worthless. So I don't think we're going to use the rest of this time. Any of you brothers have any closing comments before we end the show?
Yeah, I want to jump right on that point where she said a few have different opinions. I want to read Matthew 7 and 13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in therein. So the straight gate is Christ. Christ is the door. But there's all these different variations and illusions and delusions that makes you think that it's going to lead to Christ, like Christmas. Santa Claus, all these things are delusions and lies that appear wonderful and good and righteous, but they're going to lead you to destruction. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And we know what the way is because we read it in John 14 and 6, that Christ is the way that we're supposed to go in. And Christ wouldn't condone you lying to your children or telling lies. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So, yeah, there's only a few people that's really going to be, you know what? The Lord ain't in this. The Lord ain't in Christmas. The Lord ain't about lying to your children about some fictitious character with magical beasts flying through the air. No, that's lies. I'm not going to teach my children that. I'm going to teach them the truth because that's love. But what many people don't understand, every year they're showing hatred towards their children because they're not telling the truth. And we know that the truth is of no lie. The lie, no lie is of the truth.
Shema, you got any closing statements? Well, before you say anything, Shema, one thing that I know that we touched on it, but just to, you know, make sure that we reiterate the point, you know, it's kind of noteworthy to say that in this age of political correctness that, you know, the society is doing their damnedest to exclude Christ altogether from a holiday that they claim that's about him. Okay, you look at this whole thing how, okay, well, it's called Christ Mass, okay, and we put, you know, we have the nativity scene and things that are not non-secular, if you will, and this is the reason we celebrate Christmas. But anytime you look on the just the broad diaspora, excuse me, people are getting into this whole thing of, you know, Santa Claus, bearing gifts, the Yuletide, carols, and all of that. And there's lots of information out there that goes into showing you the origins of this holiday, where it came from, and what the customs and rituals are, if you will, where they came from and how they originated. And I'll touch on that before we leave out. But, Shema, go ahead. I think you're getting ready to say something.
Yeah, I got two last scriptures just to take some of the blows off the people because it's not about really attacking, but when you have an understanding of the scriptures and you know the truth, the scripture does tell you to lift up your voice and show the people their transgression. But I'm going to go to Romans 10 and verse 2. It says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." So true enough, there's a lot of people on this earth that really doesn't know the truth about Christ, but they know it's no Santa Claus, but they don't truly understand and know what it is to serve the Heavenly Father and keep His commandments. They have a zeal. They try to respect God to their best ability, but your knowledge is lacking in what it is to serve Him. That's why I said, "For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge." You got to get the true knowledge and the true understanding and get from up under, like I said earlier, the ban of this world. It says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So our own righteousness and what we think is right and what's good and what's fabulous and all that stuff, it will blind us from the truth of what the Heavenly Father wants us to see. So we have to understand, we have to submit our way and our life to the Heavenly Father Christ. Scripture says, "A good understanding to those that keep His commandments." So you won't begin to understand clearly until you begin to understand something, because you got to understand the command, some commandment first before you begin on with the Heavenly Father Christ. That's why I said, "A good understanding to those that keep His commandments." So now I'm going to jump over to Acts, the 17th chapter, in verse 29. It says, "Forasmuch then, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." So when you look at Santa, that is man's device, man's artworks, man's creation. We are not to think that the Heavenly Father Christ has any dealings or anything to be like that. And it says, verse 30, "At this time of ignorance, God went." So the Heavenly Father knows if you're ignorant, but the Heavenly Father knows, too, if you're totally just despising, you just don't care, and you just want to deal with the custom anyway. But when you're ignorant of something, yes, the Heavenly Father, He overlooks it. But it says, "But now command all men everywhere to repent." So with that, that's it.
All right. Kadar, you got any last parting words before we wrap it up?
Yeah, just know that there's no such thing as a small lie, because at one point in time in this world, everyone knew that Christ wasn't born on the 25th of December. But through that lie being told over and over to children and men and going down the line, now a whole bunch of people believe something that is completely false. And the last scripture I wanted to deal with is Jonah 2 and 8. And it says, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So all in all, we have to depart from the lying vanities, from the lies that have been told, from the false holy days, all these things that are not in the scriptures. Return to keeping the days of the scriptures, because that's one thing we didn't mention, but we have to remember that the Heavenly Father did give us days to follow, and then Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and other places in the Bible. Those are the things that we're supposed to keep. Depart from all this wickedness, depart from these vanities, and follow the Most High in Christ, and that's where our salvation lies, in the Heavenly Father and Christ.
All right. And I'm just going to read this scripture real quick before we close out, because, you know, all throughout time, you know, we have always upheld our own traditions and rejected the traditions of the Heavenly Father, or the commandments of the Heavenly Father, rather. And Christmas is not new as far as the whole theme of, you know, upholding the traditions of man. I want to read this real quickly in Mark, the 7th chapter, and I'm going to go straight to the point. I'm going to start at 7 and 5. It says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." So the same manner in which the Lord dealt with the scribes and Pharisees regarding the tradition that they started and upheld as doctrine and a way of life, and looked at the people evil for not upholding those traditions when it had nothing at all to do with the scriptures, Christmas is no different. Christmas and Thanksgiving, Easter, all of those things are no different. But when we are caught up in our sins, we're blinded to that fact, and we want to continue in those things, and we make excuses to follow in those things. How do we know? Because we used to do it. We used to do those exact same things. But as the scriptures have come out before, it is high time for us to awake and to come back and repent through the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. So we'd like to thank everyone for being on the show. And I'm playing some more ridiculous Christmas music. That's right. What you gonna get that boy? So anyway, like I was saying, we'd like to thank all of the guests on the show, Kadar, the Diamond, Mott. It's good to hear from you all. I'd like to thank everyone for their contributions in the chat room. And we hope that you join us again for another episode of Repentance is the Key. And Lord will, we all will come to repentance and move on to that perfection in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone.
Oh.
If you've enjoyed today's program, join us next week for another installment of Repentance is the Key, airing every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also visit us on our website, www.thebocc.com, and our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/thebocc1. Once again, that address is www.thebocc.com and www.youtube.com/thebocc1. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. "In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." It's the same old thing.
AT&T, based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates.